And all good. I'll get started. Okay, so starting in 3, 2. G'day everyone, this is Woody Valley here, and welcome to another episode of Tribbles and Ecstasy, episode 111. My host for today is Dr. Trekkie.
Hello everyone. Hello Woody.
G'day. And Skipper.
Hello all. Hope it's a good show.
I hope so too. Well, just I'll pretty much start off is happy first contact day. As we always sent past season 8, there's one final dev blog for season 8, which is dev blog 57 here, which is telling us about the first contact celebrations, which is currently happening as we do the show today. So let's just get straight into this one. There is the three factions have their public holidays today. So with the new Romulan faction into the game, they've Ditan and the leaders have declared this day to be Republic Day as well. So the Republic flagship Lisette returns with a mission on board, and to get the mission you talk to Kerak, how you say that name? I'm not too good with their Romulan lingo.
How do you spell it? Oh, you mean Jerak?
Kerak? K-E-R-E-R-E-K?
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't understand. I guess the Romulans just conveniently decided to put Republic Day on First Contact Day. Is that the story we're going with?
Yep, I see. Well, everyone's having a public holiday, so can we. So, and completing this mission is, you get reward of a small non-combat pet, which is that pink octopus-looking thing you get from, living down on New Romulus. So, it is repeatable. You can play it once a day. And you could also get a choice of marks, 35 marks, from if you replay it, if you already got the combat pet. So, of course, the Federation having their first contact day. You don't actually go to, you go to Mars. You don't go to the planet Utopia. Base, you just stay on the
You mean Utopia Planitia?
Yeah, you don't go actually go into the actual base. You just stay on the Enterprise. I don't know if you guys have actually noticed or not, but people on social media have pointed out that it's the NCC 1701-F, I think it is. But it's not called the Enterprise, it's called the Odyssey, USS Odyssey. So there's something there that someone, however cryptic, have missed and didn't fix. So.
Oh, you mean the identification on the ship you see in the mission says Odyssey?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, so someone should be strung up for high treason there, a cryptic. So. Or insubordination, one of the two.
Yeah, there's no death penalty in the Federation.
Yeah.
Unless you're visiting Talos IV.
So, in completing this mission, you get the reward of the pet Phoenix for floating around behind you on your ship. So, and of course, the Klingons also have their day called Day of Honor, where you join Captain Corrin on the Borderskew to complete the special task before enjoying shore leave to reflect on the actions they have done on the past year. To get their mission, you talk to Jim Fox. So in completion of this mission, you get a tritanium rending batleth. So I've already done the Fed and Klingon, so I've already got the Phoenix and the batleth. So I only just needed to get the pet for the Romulan. But you're not going to miss anything much between the three factions. It's pretty much basically the same storyline, which I find was quite good, actually, because it ties in with the current Dyson feature episode, sorry for spoilers, but you meet up with these, you know, flagships as they go in for weapons upgrades and repairs for the Undyne assault that has been occurred. So, what do you guys think about it?
You mean the mission? Oh, you go ahead, Skip.
Yeah.
Oh, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of dialogue, though, going this talk.
Oh, dialogue.
Like the original one.
Yeah, well, it's
well, the original one, you got the Odyssey. Remember, you had to do a little combat. You had to do this, you had to do that. But you also got to go on the station, which is now, I guess, I don't know. It's just gone, I guess. Well, it's a decoration.
Being pretty much made obsolete, basically. Pretty much fine. I don't think you can access it anymore. Good thing is, actually, you sort of like, you don't have to read. All you do is listen, because they've actually put voiceover work with all the bridge crew. So I find that pretty good. I really found that the Cassian officer on the Enterprise sounds a lot more better than what she did when she was on the Defiant during the 2800 series. So you guys remember the voice that she had on when she was on the Defiant during the 2800 series?
The voice locked out on me.
See, it's pretty much the same crew that Sean had when he, because, you know,
Captain of the Defiant.
Yeah, Captain of the Defiant. He pretty much took the same crew with him that he had on the Defiant with him to the Enterprise. And the Cassian female officer that she was, it was part of the bridge crew. When she said something on the Defiant during the scene when that particular episode where, I can't remember what you call it, where you go to that asteroid prison to go collect the Dominion changing leader. And they had that big battle scene, and you had a cut scene of the Bridge of the Defiant, you know, saying, you know, get out of here. We'll, you know, cut them off and stall them and all that, you know, get out of here so you don't, you know, don't get destroyed and stuff like that. And you had the Cassian there saying something, and just the voiceover that they had, it just did not sound like a Cassian. Like, it just really sounded out of place. But
it wasn't catting and meowing enough. What was it? Not Cassian.
It was just sounded very high pitched. Like, it almost sounded like it was supposed to be something from Mickey Mouse more than a Cassian or something like that. But at least the voiceover for this particular episode was a lot more better. I've found so.
Well, if it doesn't sound like the Cassian from the animated series, I'm not going to be happy.
Well, I haven't seen the animation series, so I don't know what the Cassian sounds like on that. So I'll take your word for it. But of course, the level 10 characters may participate in this particular event. So certainly go in and enjoy the first contact, Abe, in some words. But getting on to the future events. There's quite a few Season 9 dev blogs that have come out that, you know, I'm really keen on discussing here as well. So, first one is Dev Blog 7, which is, talks about the kit revamp. This systems designer Jeff Adjudicator Hawk Hamilton and Thomas the Crypticat Marone talks about the revamp of the ground kits. Sounds like Adjudicator Hawk is the one being one very busy man, because I think this is about the third dev blog he's actually put his name to. So he's one busy boy there.
He must really love it, because we do read a lot from him.
Yeah, look at me. Yeah, so
could be that. It could be that.
That or Stephen D'Angelo saying, "I'm going to make you busy for this one. You're the man." Yeah, but moving on here, the they've revamped the kits that you carry around with on your character, where new kit frames will be available throughout the game with the event of Season 9. All new kit frames contain slots for kit modules. Each career has been categorized into the one or two specifications. Science has research and medic. Engineering has fabrication and mechanic. Tactical has strategic and assault. This will be available from Mark 1 to Mark 12. It'll be similar as the what we got now as kits, is, you know, might only be able to beam, like as an engineer, as I am, your Mark 1, be able to beam down a torrent or something like that, or some one or two landmines as you level up and get better marked gear. You'll be able to get some more stuff on it, so it's pretty much the same there. If you got this is a bit of a thing I actually found out for myself, but this wasn't actually in the dev blog. If you still have the old style kits, they still work. But I noticed that the kits cannot be crafted anymore. Even the new kits that's coming out with Season 9, it's no longer there and available for crafting. I find that a bit on the disappointing side, because I went over to onto the Tribble server to check this out and familiarize myself with it, and it was only giving like green Mark 11, uncommon Mark 11 gear at the space dock. So I took myself over to Memory Alpha to see if I can actually craft some of this to, you know, have a further look into it, and it was not available at all. So far as I know, you can only buy it through Dilithium, or, you know, or obviously through the Fleet Starbase projects or Sphere, I believe. So I find that a little bit disappointing that you can't craft it. But it's, in some ways, I find it's not surprising that they didn't include crafting in it, because, you know, the way they've been putting off crafting in this game. So, what do you guys think about it?
No, it's just more of the same.
Pretty much, it sounds like they're removing it entirely.
Yeah, so like almost like shutting down Memory Alpha altogether, really. You could say, couldn't they? So yeah, it's really disappointing that I've mentioned that in the forums, you know, asking if they're going to be putting it back into going to do something about crafting this in the future, but I haven't had a reply back yet. So that's if any devs have been looking at the forums about this. So yeah, it is very disappointing, I find, but. Enough about that, so keep moving on. It will now consist of having a kit frame of a certain career specification or a mixed specification. For example, you could do a full fabrication kit or a full mechanic kit or part fabrication, part mechanic kit. Of course, I didn't get into this very big. I'm an engineer, so I just kept to what I know. But you get the feel for it, so you can do like a part research or part mechanic, medic kit, or it's part with the tactical as well. How it works is to place the kit frame up onto the kit slot on your character and then load the multiple, then load the kit. Start that again. And then load the multiple, then load the kit modules into the slide out menu. So, what do you guys think about this revamp?
To mix and match parts and stuff?
Yep.
It could be a good thing, but you'd have to depend on your spec. You'd be a healer or for a science attack.
Yeah. I mean, this is over my head because honestly, like I have engineering stuff and I'll always have my sort of, my phaser turrets and medical stuff, and I'll just put a bunch out. I don't know. I mean, I don't need to get into this much detail, but I imagine if people really want to do something specifically for a skill, it could be good. It just seems so detailed. I don't know, almost unnecessary, but hey, what am I to know? I don't know.
Yeah, I think for most of us, we'll probably end up sticking to, because I used the, with being an engineer, I used the bunker kit. So I might end up just sticking with a bunker kit style of build.
Seems so easy. I mean, why would you don't have to think about it, right? I mean, it's so powerful and it does everything I need to do. I mean, I just go by myself, put a bunch of those things out, and it's done.
Yeah, well, the bunker kit pretty much consists of a...
mortar?
No, not mortar. It consists of the phaser turret, a medical turret, a shield turret, and
a drone, right?
I believe so. I haven't got the game up, so I can't look. But it also involves some shielding, the big shield dome that puts up that actually pushes everything outside the shield.
So, yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah, so, I quite enjoy that quite a lot. I find it quite useful and to use, especially when I'm doing the mind trap. So,
what's the big energy attack? Orbital strike?
Yeah, that's orbital strike. That doesn't come with the kit.
I never feel like I need that. I mean, with the turrets and your own guns, you just destroy everything.
Yeah. There's another thing I actually point out to this too. I actually found this out by someone mentioning it on the forums. Is the visuals for the kit no longer there? You actually have to go to the tailor, and there's a section in there that. Deals with looks of kits now. So if you want to go around wearing a kit as a visual, you have to go to the tailor now. Not it doesn't show up when you put a kit on. So just something on the side note.
That's okay for me. I always hate all that stuff on my character. So I've never had that preference.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It when it gets to Mark 12, it sort of like looks a bit too big and bulky, so I usually hide it myself. But I'll probably have a look at it and see if there's actually anything there that might just doesn't look so big and bulky. Though I might just wear it like a belt or something like that. So, but, so. with the end of that particular blog, we'll move on to the dev blog number 8 for season 9, which talks about the Undyne Assault. The content designer Chris Marods, or Mr. Odds, Dodds, gives us an insight to the new PvE event involving the Undyne. The Undyne are attacking Alpha and Beta quadrants, and queuing you up to at one of four locations. The four locations are Gornar, Andor, Cardassia, and Ferenginar. With the aid of local forces, you need to push through the Undyne forces and close down the rifts until you reach the planet Killer. That sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. Wasn't Ferenginar always on the map with Beta Zen originally?
I don't think so. Beta Z a bit strange. It's not actually on the map. Because you'll be in the Beta Eurasi, around that section there.
It's toward Deep Space. No, not Deep Space. The one before, underneath, lower block.
Is it? I know it's not. At least it was originally,
but they've been changing the map.
Yeah, but I know Ferenginar is not on the map at all, because I believe that's located where Memory Alpha. If you go west of Memory Alpha, is you go into Ferengi space there. So it's Ferenginar is located over there, well, according to the Stellar Cartography book I got from that Larry Nemesek made, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So, there is some tips there that they also, it's also mentioned in the dev blogs, in this particular dev blog, I mean, is keep an eye out on the command vessel, as you need this ship to expose the rift for you. And the second little tip here is communicate. There will be times when you want one team member or multiple team members to change position. So it sounds pretty full on. I don't know if you guys actually had a go at it yet over on Triple.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, me neither.
No, I haven't either. I was hearing what listening into Priority One do their podcast yesterday with the simulcast on Trek Radio. They started to play it when they were doing the simulcast, and it sounds like some people might find it pretty easy and simple, especially the ones that got high DPS. Some others might actually have a bit of a struggle with it. So
will we have to respec at this changeover, like last time? Every time they've done it, we've had a change out.
With this Undyne Assault.
Well, no. Anytime that they change certain things in the game, we've actually had to go back and respec powers and abilities.
The skills and all that. Well, I know with this reputation revamp, we're probably going to get a respect token, especially the ones who've loaded, especially the ones who've already completed. So you're probably bound to need to do a respect here and there. So, I know you guys haven't played it, but what do you guys think of this Undyne Assault? Was it just too early to tell?
I remember the one where we had to run around and play with consoles and guard them. from the Undying?
This is a big
mental shield, something we had to have, or something like that.
So there's a ground part of this? I thought this was all ship stuff.
It was one of the STF things we did with the Undying on a space station.
I remember there was one that no one seemed to play that involved the Undying, where you had to protect a Gekli, and it was like a PvE event, but it was like
that was Liquid Space when we did the map with the ships. I think there's one more space station we had to go on.
I can't remember that.
I remember that's an episode. I remember something like that before, but I mean, this seems like a giant, you know, huge space fight, which will last a very long time. I'm still obsessed with finding Beta Zed on the map. That's all I've been doing the last 10 minutes. Because I've been, I don't know if it's near Ferenginar. I was looking at some of the official Federation maps, and I can't find it yet.
Well, Beta Zoid is pretty much, if you locate DS9, it's pretty much directly to the east of DS9. And
I'll keep looking.
Yeah, pretty much where Ferenginar is located is slightly northwest of Earth.
Right, I can see Ferenginar. I'm just looking for Beta Zed. Okay, so maybe they're not that far. I didn't think they were that close, but I guess they are closer than I thought. You can't go on Ferenginar in the game, can you?
No, not yet. They haven't really they haven't really opened up very much in the way of like the Ferengi space, basically. So,
well, they just removed some content with the Ferengis a while back too.
Yeah.
Did they?
So who knows? They might bring it all back and actually have something there for with involving the Ferengi space space zone or something like that.
Yeah. They have a little empire their own. It's not part of the Federation. At least I thought. I can't remember if they changed that in the game narrative.
Yeah. So. Yep, so we'll move on here. So we've got one more dev blog here, dev blog 9, where character artist Joe Jing Sr. talks to us about the new heads and complexions assets. They added new complexions to the character of humanoid character options, and I find this dev blog is very much, I can't really explain it terribly much in with the show notes here. It's more like you need to have a read of it to, and because it works with a whole heap of pictures they've put up with it. So what do you guys think about the changes here?
That's kind of this all coming at one time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty amazing. I've just never been so crazy detail oriented about faces. I know that a lot of people try to recreate specific faces, so they want all these options. I mean, I think it's great. It just seems like boy a lot of effort, but I know how important this is for RPG and MMO and stuff like this.
Yeah, my concern about this is it's great that they've added these, you know, the put simple as the facelift here, but I'm a bit worried that this is not going to be put into the foundry either. So, you know, I'm really keen on hoping they also put this all this into the foundry as well, so that we get the whole kit caboodle.
Does the foundry usually lag behind the game in terms of technical options like this?
Yes. Well, there was a dev a long time ago. He's pretty much put it as, I'm quite happy to make Foundry missions, but I don't want to make Foundry missions because the Foundry editor is terrible. It's a lot better to use the actual stuff that we make game content with. So, and you're going to get quite a lot of mixed reactions between different authors and stuff.
Reviews.
Sorry? What was that you said?
You're going to get a mixed review and stuff like that of how the stuff is done?
Yeah. It's always a very mixed review because everyone's got their own opinion and stuff like that. But for me personally, I've always seemed to feels like that the Foundry in Star Trek Online is the lab rat test subject for the Neverwinter Foundry, because it's understandable that Neverwinter is based around using the Foundry to provide content and stuff like that, and they're pretty much copying quite a lot of our ideas in Stowe and implementing them in the Neverwinter, and when they feel like it, they put it into the Stowe Foundry. So, also the problem is that we got quite a lot of Foundry authors in Stowe, and they want this, 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 and this, and it's like not really getting anywhere with it because everyone's got their own opinions on what they want, and it's like not what we need. So yeah, because there's a big difference between what we want and what we need. So because people saying, oh, we need this tree, we need this pot plant, we need these stairs, we need this, this, is this, and the next person they come along to says, oh yeah, totally different thing on this, when we need this, this, and this, and this. And since it's well known that it takes a long time for stuff to be, or just basic skinning content of items, it takes a long time to get into the Foundry because it takes a long time to actually put this particular item into the Foundry. It's a very big long delay. There was a period of time, especially from Xeronius Rex, she pretty much on her own time actually pretty much put in content for the Foundry and Stowe, but with her moving on and getting promoted and probably a couple of other things, she can't do that anymore now. So it's sort of like, come on guys, we're dying here type of thing, so far as we understand, the only real big thing the Foundry is getting is the players be able to implement able to have a favorites list of authors. So like if you've got a favorite author you like to play his missions in the Foundry, you can put a tick beside his name and it'll let you know of any authors that if they've got any new missions out, you can, oh, they got a new mission, I'll go play it type of thing, so that's about it for the Foundry for this year. And so it's in some ways very disappointing. We're trying to do our best to help promote the Foundry and at the end of the day promote Star Trek Online, and we're getting the bottom end of the stick. So
it seems really odd. Seems odd with all these technical additions that something more doesn't filter down, but you never know in a giant organization or a development group like this what the real politics are. So it's always hard to judge that from the outside.
Yeah, well, I know just by looking at it, they pretty much wanting to work on content that provides some money. And I got the feeling that the Foundry to them is not really making their money in a big way. So, but for me personally, you know, I'm having my ups and downs and stuff like that, and you know, I've been hurt quite a lot too, especially when the big 44,000 44,000 dilithium missions was the big thing, and before they got it got taken down, you know, just sitting in my own in Caspian Teenspeak and just hearing a whole heap of people say, oh, we need to play this, we need to play this, and it just did not sit well. And you know, I did for a period of time pull my missions down and saying, well, fine, if you want to go play these missions, you go play these missions, but don't come running to me if you've got yourself account banned because you played these missions. Yeah, and it was only, you know, for me playing these you know, doing Foundry reviews that actually I put my missions back up. But I'm not, for me making missions, I'm not exactly being very full on getting back into them, you know. Well, put it simply, I'm not full back going back into the Foundry in a big way, because I'm just not finding, you know, after that big, you know, being trod on, hurt that I receive, it's I'm just not full on to the Foundry like I used to be. You know, sure, I will make missions, but you know, I'm not expecting big turnover from it. You know, even now I'm still not getting a very big turnover from it. You know, yeah, I have missions promoted on other podcasts and stuff like that, and I put things up in the forums and on the Starbase UGC website. But you know, it's just, I'm just not getting big plays. So it's very much like we said with Captain Smirk, it does need a big clean up and a big overhaul just to get the Foundry back on its feet.
Yeah, that's clear.
Anyway, just looking here, that's pretty much it with the dev blogs here. So since we started getting to talking Foundry here, I've got a mission to spotlight, let people know about. This mission is called Alliances and Alignments by Ed Mirison. It's a Foundry mission, and it doesn't qualify for rewards yet. It's only got like 11 reviews, so it's not enough yet to qualify for a reward. So you know, definitely give this guy a hand to get this mission qualified, because it is a quite a good mission, quite well written mission. It he tied it in well with the Legacy of Romulus storyline, because he, well, was, you know, evolving Romulans, sort of like a remnants of the Tel Shiar. It evolves their alliance, you know, their friendliness with the Iconians and other species that, you know, they have an alliance with of sorts. So it ties in very well with the storyline that that the Star Trek Online has with the Legacy of Romulus. So it's also very diplomatic. You know, quite a lot of the Federation they're involved with this is mostly being the diplomatic corps. So you're very much talking with diplomats. In this mission, basic storyline is you get us sent off to the, you know, way the other side of the known galaxy of the Beta Quadrant, you know, so it's all way the other side of the Romulan space and over that way, and you meet with a Romulan colony, And it's pretty much where the story starts, where you're trying to sort out and see reason and make people, make the Romulans realize that these guys ain't what they say they are, type of thing. So so it's a very, very strong story along that line. It's, of course, you know, being the author's first mission, it is, you know, does have quite a, you know, decent amount of battle scenes for both space and ground. So, but, I for the work he did with it, you know, I did give him 5 stars for it. And I actually said to him, I said, you know, hopefully you can actually submit this mission for spotlighting, because it is a very well written mission. So, yeah, he really did some homework in writing this mission. So, you know, definitely encourage everyone to give this mission a good go over to help him get this mission qualified. So, so the mission again is called Alliances and Alignments by Ed Mirison. So yeah, please, you know, I definitely encourage everyone to give this a play. So now for some Star Trek news, you got some news for us there, Dr. Trekkie?
Yeah, just tiny bits. Most people have probably seen this new announcement for Sci-Fi. Will Wheaton's going to have a weekly talk show, which he describes as the talk soup of Sci-Fi. People might know Talk Soup. That was a show on, oh, it's still a show, I think, on Comedy Central, where people sort of review all of the reality shows and all the talk shows on American television. So it might be interesting. I mean, he didn't really say much about it. I guess it's gonna be a summer run. It's gonna start on May 27th, and you know, he's got a lot of press lately from The Big Bang Theory. So I don't know. He might have some interesting guests. Maybe some Star Trek alums might be on the show. So that's one quick news story. What do you guys think about a talk show of Will Wheaton? Are you gonna be tuning in, or at least listening to the? To some of the clips or YouTube bits from him?
It'll certainly be
a online one, right?
What'd you say, Skipper?
Didn't he have an online one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has a Twitter feed, and that's pretty popular. He might have had an online show. I never caught that.
Yeah, he's got a online YouTube show with the Geek and Sundry guys, called Tabletop, where they have people guests on, celebrities who come on and join in with playing board games.
Oh yeah, that's more, I think, much more specific. This is, I think, he's going to do sort of like a quickie summary of everything sort of going on with shows and review them. Probably, I don't know if there'll be an audience or if he'll have a panel, but yeah, could be interesting.
Yeah, he's pretty much going to be talking about sci-fi films, TV, video games, viral videos, and news. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind watching this, but the only problem is I don't, well, it's sci-fi here is, you know, on pay TV, so, and I can't afford to get pay TV. So,
yeah,
hopefully there'll be some other means so I can actually watch this show. So,
I'm sure we'll see clips of it around, and we'll see. I'm interested. Maybe he'll even talk about STO on it. Who knows? So that's the first one, and then there's a couple other stories. There was a decent CNN article on Star Trek Continues. You know, we love to promote Star Trek Continues on this show, and it was a pretty long interview with Vic, the creator, and he goes into some details of how it started, and I thought it was interesting how he decided to follow the Apollo story, and you guys should read that. I won't give it away. So there are little bits and pieces in the article I think are worth looking at. So if you check on CNET, it was put out just today, April 4th. So check that out. And then the last little bit of news, which I thought was very cool, was there's actually this really interesting clock piece someone has done. I don't know if it just showed up on IO9. It's very interesting and it makes a lot of sense, but it's in the shape of Deep Space Nine, and it looks like a very cool thing for that Star Trek fan that has everything.
Yeah, also I was looking before we started the show at this article, and I was thinking, man, that's quite nice looking, but I was thinking you probably need to put it in some sort of protective case or something like that, because you probably have kids around or something like that. They'll burn the touch, it'll break it or something like that. It's supposed to be all those moving parts in it.
Yeah, you can appreciate it unopened. Potentially, but it looks very nice. They probably dug this up. I can't remember if this was from Germany or Switzerland. It was somewhere in Europe that this was available, or you can order it from. So I think it might be nice, especially if you're a giant Deep Space Nine fan. It looks beautiful. So that's it. That's it for news. Of course, we continue to wait for any news on the next Star Trek movie, and I guess we will see if anything pops up before next week.
Yeah, well, I've heard they've actually named the director, I believe, too.
Yeah, well, the rumor was the guy that directed Attack the Block, that UK sort of alien invasion movie. That's been going around for a few months, and then of course the writer and the writing team has been named.
I suppose you'll dig into it. Oh, excuse me.
I will.
Yeah, hopefully you dig into it and hopefully have something there for next week. But anyway, well, the looks of it, we've pretty much got everything we want to cover for this week's show. So thanks for joining us for this week, and really hoping that we can actually see you again next week. So thanks for joining us, and have a good one, and enjoy the special weekend this weekend with I lost my train of thought here.
First contact day.
That's it, first contact day.
It's already April 5th for you, but Skipper and I have to wait.
Yep.
So, all right, thanks for joining us, everyone, and catch you later, everyone. Catch ya.
Bye.